relates to, but it's not limited to, how it plays out.
To the holiday which we are currently celebrating, and that is the holiday of Chanukah. So first of all, to wish everyone a freilich and a lichtige Chanukah. Thank you for coming. It's wonderful to have everybody. So when I saw this article is, I'm looking at the home section for the New York Times, Thursday, November 12th, 2009. And the picture that you have on your cover is this second picture here, in the middle section of the Times. Window watchers in a city of strangers. So this really, when I saw this, it's really caught my eye. And I said to Nechama, I said, this is going to be a shiur. And lo and behold, coming around the time of Chanukah, it's perfect timing. What's the topic of discussion here? It's all about the members of various New York City dwellings spying on, or in a nicer way, observing their neighbors. This article even speaks of one gentleman who actually has binoculars, and his name is Mr. Morris. He's 53 years old. Mark Morris, a choreographer and dancer, who lives in Manhattan on 3rd Avenue. He actually has a pair of binoculars that he uses to look around at the people who are living across the street. So it's a fascinating social observation in terms of people feeling connected, not lonely. That's a whole different discussion, not for right now. But what struck me was, what does the halacha say about this whole phenomenon that you're reading about in this article of window watchers? So I don't know if you've had a chance to read a couple of pages. I'll give you one more minute. And then we'll jump right into it.
Famous movie, Rear Window. That's a very Alfred Hitchcock movie. That's the
they mentioned it.
James,
yes.
Yeah, I see it. James Stewart played, and he caught a murderer as a result of doing
it. So one of the things they...
He had a broken leg, and he couldn't move, and he was laid up all summer long in a wheelchair, and he wheeled himself to the window and looked out with binoculars, and he saw a murder being committed across the courtyard.
In someone's home?
In someone's apartment, yeah.
Ah, so there you go.
Yeah.
So that they actually have here Nebuch, one man who looked out his window and saw someone, Nebuch, dead in their apartment. So he called police to let them know. I mean, this is. That's the best.
I don't know if you're going to bring up the connection, Pursum Epanais.
Oh, you see, you can't get any cast the chevra here. So what I'd like to talk about first, you can read the rest of the article later, is exactly what you just mentioned, which is, how does this relate to the holiday of Chanukah? In the following sense. There is a mitzvah, which we are familiar with, which is the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. And that mitzvah exists no matter where you live, no matter how deserted it is, no matter who is your neighbor, your friend, wherever you are, there's a mitzvah, midrabanan, to light Chanukah licht, mishetishka chama ad shetichol regel minashuk. From the time that tishka chama, which is sometime around sunset, either sunset itself or dark, it's a big discussion, the poskim, until tichol regel minashuk, till there are no more feet at the kal yaragla de tarmadoy, until the people who are chopping wood in the street in the market, they go home. That's what the Gemara says. So undoubtedly, that will apply whether one lives in a community of Jews, even if a person lives in a community which is completely Gentile. It would apply even if a person had a home in the middle of the Mojave Desert alone. There's a mitzvah midrabanan to light Chanukah licht. However, lurking in the background of all of Hilchos Chanukah is an aspect which is highlighted by the second bracha that we recite on the Neros Chanukah, because it's somewhat unusual. Usually when you do a mitzvah, you make one bracha. You eat the matzah on Leil Pesach, you recite a bracha of Al Achilas Matzah. Nekuda. When you shake the lulav, you take the lulav in your hands, you recite one bracha of Al Netilas Lulav. But there are certain instances, and this is one of them, where you actually recite multiple brachas for one ma'aseh mitzvah. And there's a particular reason, because we recite the bracha of Sha'asa Nisa Lavosenu, which signifies that this miracle is one of Pirsume Nisa, publicizing a miracle. This is one of several mitzvahs which are revolving around the concept of Pirsume Nisa. Another one of these is, when else do we say Sha'asa Nisa?
Purim.
Yes. Purim is another institution which Chazal gave us as Pirsume Nisa, Pirsum Hanes. The parallel between Purim and Hanukkah is very strong. Obviously, both rabbinic holidays, there's a lot there. But this aspect is borne out lahalacha, that there are actually two brachos, which are reflective of the Maisa Mitzvah, on one hand, and also the aspect of Pirsume Nisa, on the other hand. So, this notion of Pirsume Nisa isn't just manifest in the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. We actually say Sha'asa Nisim. It's manifest in the dinim of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah as well. Take a look on page 6, right after the article. The Gemara tells us, on the top of page 6, which is Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph and Shabbos, Ner Shel Chanukah Sheheinicha L'mala Michaf Amma, if you placed your Ner Chanukah above 20 Amos, Psula, it is unacceptable, it's impermissible, Kisuka Ukamavui, like a sukkah and a mavui. What does that mean? If you have a sukkah whose schach is lemaila me'esrim amma, it's above 20 amos high, it is possible. Same thing, if you have a mavui, what's a mavui? In the old days, right, in the old days, they used to have very specific arrangements of streets. So if you can envision that my table here, this rectangular table, is a what's called a chatzer. So a chatzer is a courtyard which has private homes that open into it. So here's a private home, here's a private home, here's a private home. Now, the chatzer opens into a minor thoroughfare, a small street, which would be this, let's envision this, and this is referred to as a mavui. There are multiple chatzers that open into the mavui. So if you have 5 homes in this chatzer, and you have 3 chatzeros, you have ultimately 15 homes that are pouring out into the mavui, and then the mavui leads out into the Rishus HaRabim. So let's say you have a mavui that opens into Rishus HaRabim, and you want to use the space in the mavui. So one of the dinim derabbanan is, we're concerned that if you're playing around in the mavui, you may come to carry something out into the Rishus HaRabim. So, similar to Erev Chatzeros, which is a whole separate discussion, Shitufei Muvos is the same kind of thing. The people in the Chatzeros have to get together to create some joint venture, some joint dwelling. And one of the things that they need to do is they need to put a heker, they need to put some kind of distinguishing mark at the entrance to Rishus HaRabim, so everybody will realize, oh, don't carry out of there. So one of the things that you could put is called a korah, which would be a crossbeam. These the vertical ones are called lechis, the horizontal ones are called koras. It could be, today we utilize koras in a different way, but also important. Korea, what we call suras apesach. That's not for now. So how high can your korah be to serve as a deterrent for people to carry into the public domain? Well, the Mishnah says in Erevin that your korah has got to be less than 20 amos. Why? So Rashi explains at the arrow on the top. Psula, why? Delo shalta ba'ena lamala michaf ama. Because an eye doesn't grasp, it doesn't relate to something which is above 20 amas tall. Valeka persume nisa. And you lack the piersum hanes. Because the purpose is for the people to see the lights and acknowledge the miracle. So this is the second nafkamina halacha lamaisa. This gemara is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at page 7. If someone was manicho lemaila me'esrim amma in the middle of the Shulchan Aruch here in the and where the arrow is, it is lo yotza. You are not yotze. So this is the halacha psuka in Shulchan Aruch. So I saw, by the way, there is some interesting discussion. What if I have a super huge gigantic menorah? Where do I measure from? Do I measure 20 amas from the floor till the base of the menorah? Or 20 amas to the actual flames. So many achronim say that you measure to the flames. I saw some achronim, I was surprised. I thought it was pasha that you would measure to the flames. Some achronim I saw measured by the menorah itself. Where to find stuff like this? There's a great sefer called Mikroi Kodesh. Not the Mikroi Kodesh that you're thinking of, Mrs. Kardesh, which was authored by Tzvi Pesach Frank at the turn of the 20th century, which is a tremendous sefer. For some reason, there's a fellow by the name of Rabbi Moshe Harari who learns America Sarav, very big Talmud Chacham, and a tremendous anav. I met him to buy his svarim, and he pretends like he doesn't really know that much. He's a very humble, simple Jew. So he also authored a set of svarim called Mikroi Kodesh, and in there he has a volume on Chanukah where he has a lot of contemporary questions, like the one we're going to deal with today. So he has that discussion in there. One of the other discussions that he has is our Shaila. Because when I read this article, based on the background that we have right now, I'm thinking the following. Let's say I live in this fine apartment right up here on the 13th floor in New York City. So my apartment is way above. It is certainly l'mayla me'esrim amah. It's at least, you know, again, amah is not exactly defined 100% according to everyone. Let's say it's about a foot and a half. So you got 30 feet. This 13th floor apartment is way, way above 13 feet. So on the one hand, you're going to tell me, doctor, can't light, because it's l'mayla me'esrim amah. On the other hand, we have the window watchers phenomenon. We have the people who are living in the apartment buildings across the road. This fellow right here, who is looking out his window, and he can see the Chanukah lift just fine. So does the halacha recognize the phenomenon of the window watchers?
I think so.
Otherwise, what are we
going to
do?
So I'll tell you what we're going to do. The alternative is, this is an important point, which is, look, what's the big nafkamina? The fact is, in the times of the Gemara, where did people light?
Outside.
The Gemara says, B'shas ha-sakana, there was some kind of decree which seemed to be propagated as the minig in many, many communities in over the course of the 2,000 years of Golos, close to 2 millennia of Golos, that people light inside. Now, between lighting outside, like they do in Yerushalayim in many places today, and lighting inside on your table, are two other possibilities. One is to light at the door, which is al pesach beso opposite the mezuzah. The other one is to light in the window. So the Chai Adam and other poskim say, if you have a choice between the door and the window, you're better off at the window. Yes, at the window, because you get the persumei nisa of the people outside.
Would you get surrounded by mitzvot?
Oh, so apparently some poskim say like that, but many poskim say, Isal Chayodim says, you're better off going in the window for the presuming needs of the people outdoors. So here's going to be our Shaila, exactly what we just said. If you have a choice between the door and the window, according to Chayodim, generally, where would you put it? In the window. So if I'm living on the 13th floor of the apartment, do we say that we consider the presuming needs an ash light at the window, or do we say no? That window watcher phenomenon is not considered valid lahalacha. We don't really consider that presuming needs. And Mamela, where would you be better off lighting? At the door. Because we don't really care what's going on at the window, because the window is not important. Because it's the malame esr mama.
Are you talking about the door of the building or the door of the apartment?
That's an excellent question. So there is some more discussion about this. There seems to be a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos in the Gemara and Shabbos. Back then, where did they light? Did they light at the Pesach Habayis going into the Chatzor, or the Pesach Chatzor going into the Rishis Rabim? There's more talk about that as well. But, yeah?
Isn't there also a question of where you're living, you know, from your floor up?
So, certainly for you, you will be Yotzi the mitzvah, because you are there to see the lights at the proper time. Right? Our question is, remember, let's say...
I understand. No, what I'm saying to you is, because your apartment's on the 13th floor, as long as you don't have a 20 amos up from the floor of your apartment.
Oh, okay. So Mrs. Gertz already is getting even fancier with the lumbus here. You ready? I hear what you're asking. You're asking the following, Shaila. You're asking the following, Shaila. You're saying, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? Put it in the window. What's the big deal? It's presuming Easter for you on the inside, and it's not l'mala me'esr mama for you. That's your point. So let me give you something to think about, all right?
Okay.
Let's say somebody goes out of town, like my parents. My parents last night went to bar mitzvah in New Jersey, and then they were driving back to Baltimore. So my rabbi, should live and be well, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, my rabbi from Fairlawn, where the bar mitzvah was at, he told my parents they should light the menorah when they get home. That's their home. That's what they should light the menorah. I didn't speak to my parents this morning to find out exactly what time they got home. I spoke to them in the car. I'm sure they didn't get home before 12 o'clock at night. So wait a second. We said at the beginning of this year that you light the menorah, mishatish kachama, anshatich l'regal menashuk. So some poskim say... So my parents live on Olympia Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. Tishka Chama is at a very early
age.
Okay? That's it. So, you're speaking to someone who lives on Rehov Sleeping Bear. Okay? we like to do it suburban. So, some poskim do say, look, my parents are going to lie when they get home 12 o'clock at night. They cannot make a bracha. Can't make a bracha. But because it's past the zone of Chiyuv, you're not able to fulfill the basic element of Pirsumei Nisa.
Wasn't there something about as long as someone is up?
Ah, okay. So you're ready on the next step. Some posts can disagree, which I think is actually the plurality opinion, which is what Rabbi Yudin was following. And that's the opinion that I would say many or most posts can follow, which is it depends. If you get back at 12 o'clock at night, you could light with a bracha if someone else is there to witness your lights. Because then that constitutes Pirsumei Nisa. If my wife is up, if my father, my brother, my son... Somebody is there who watches when I'm doing the Hadlokas Neros, so then you would make a bracha because there's Pirsumei Nisa of someone who's there.
Your only question is the second bracha. The first bracha is to do the mitzvah of lighting.
Ah, but apparently, even the basic mitzvah of lighting, because it's outside of the zone of Tich L'Regel Menashuk, you would not be able to be in fulfillment of if there was nobody there to kick in the element, the practical element of Pirsumei Nisa. So here's Mrs. Gertz's point. Let's say it's 12 o'clock at night. So according to most poskim, if I'm the only one up in my house, I would not be able to make a bracha because it's past the time frame.
Okay.
But if you consider the window watchers who are up across the street, then maybe I could make a bracha. You hear the point? See, it's all that. It keeps coming back to the same thing. Do you consider those guys as relevant to what I'm doing? So you're right. If it's in the regular zman, hahadlaka, if it's a regular time, just like if I was in a desert island, I would light. There would be one slight nafkamina whether I should do it at the window or at the door. But even if you don't accept that nafkamina, and you were going to do it at the door anyway, would I be able to light with a bracha at 12 o'clock at night to consider the window watchers? That's, I think, another possible way of looking at the same shaila.
And now that we have buildings, I know that when I'm walking or driving by, I look after to see who has a menorah in their window.
Interesting. So one of the poskim says earlier, maybe before the high-rise building, they said people don't walk like this.
They don't walk like this. If you're looking for it.
The other svara might be that maybe it depends on the angle at which you're looking. Meaning, if you're driving on Lakeshore Drive, you could easily discern a menorah in someone's window on the 10th floor. But apparently these are, I'm working with the facts on the ground, apparently these are important considerations to be into the mix, but they're not necessarily kovaya. So take a look at long last. The first opinion is that of Rav Moshe Sternbuch on page 8. It says Rav Sternbuch, bottom of the right-hand column, Umiu. Umiu im gar l'mayla me'esr mama, ein bezeh heker l'pnei rishus harabin. Says Rav Sternbuch, shalom be well. It doesn't work. Va'af sheyesh shcheinim mimul, even though there are neighbors across the way, ze lo maspik. This is not sufficient. Shechazal tiknu haheker l'bnei rishus harabim dafka. They wanted it specifically for the bnei rishus harabim. And therefore, says Rav Sternbuch, if you have a choice to light it in the window or in the doorway, you're better off in the doorway. However, he's not the only opinion. Many other posts can disagree. Take a look at Rav Osner on page 9. Should also leave you well. See where I have the arrow here? In the Shevet Alev in Chilek Dalet Simen Samach. Hey. What's that?
I don't see the arrow.
Oh, you don't have an arrow. Only my copy has an arrow. Okay. Yeah, smart. Three paragraphs up from the bottom. First word is Va'asher. Sorry, I didn't give you an arrow also. Vaasher Shoal, the Shaila was Bemishador Bakoma Elyona Lamalamichov Amam Rishisa Rabim, Dame Pursuma the Oven Vishovim, Haim Yalak, Bepezah Basement Bifnim, Oshema Bepezah Kanisala Chola Binyan, Vigir Vidros Vyadlik, oh, the Yadlik Liara Chalon Karagil. What should you do? So he says, next paragraph, he says, Mishum Pursuminisu, you should light it in the Chalon. Why? He says, take a look at the second second line in the next paragraph. He says, this that we say in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not Yotzi above Eser Mama, b'zeh ari shelukulam gam lebnei bayesu lamala me'eser Mama. This is what Mrs. Karnish was pointing out before. That what? No, this was Mrs. Samra's point. That what? That it's 20 feet, 20 amos, above the floor level of where you are. Right, wasn't this your point earlier? Whose point was this? Somebody made this point. Oh, I'm sorry. This was somebody's, I'm getting confused here. Somebody made this point. So first of all, you're like we said before, you're Yotze, the basic mitzvah, because we're lighting for the inside. This is what we said about earlier. But even more, then he says, take a look on the next paragraph. Mikol Mokom Meikara Takana Tiknu Chazal Shiadlik Samoch Rishus Rabim Why Diikar Pursumin Isagam Bachutz. Then he quotes the Machlokas Rashi Tos we mentioned earlier. Next line: Vekev Unto HaEmesu Diikar Shchenim Mikamatz Dodim. Since there are neighbors on different sides, Sheyacholim LaHabit Bener Chanuka Shelahem Hutoch Chafama. Says Rav Hosner, I do buy into the watching syndrome. Because he says the fact that there are neighbors who are around within Chafama, they are machshavit. And this is what's quoted on page 9. I quoted you that say from Mikrei Kodesh. So he quotes this machlokas of poskim, and you can take a look at it further as we mentioned. So I think that's the first thing, the halacha lemaisa for today, in terms of the machlokas of poskim. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi of what is the psak for someone who lives in an apartment building or in a high rise where they're above 20 amos. So this is the first thing that caught my eye in celebration of Chanukah from this article. But what really troubled me was, do we have any issues? Is it okay to adopt this this practice of taking a look and peeking on other people? I mean, growing up in our house, doing that was what we called the Gladys Kravitz phenomenon. If you were peeking into other people's windows, that was the people know who that is.
Yes, from Bewitched.
From Bewitched. There was a neighbor, her name was Gladys Kravitz, who was consistently sneaking and trying to peek in exactly what was going on with the Tabitha, you know, the whole situation over there, the Bewitched. It was a curious mice. So she wanted to know, the mice, what was going on? So she was constantly spying on them. So the Shaila is, what do we have to say about the Gladys Kravitz phenomenon? So the Gemara in Bava Basra on page 10 teaches an important lesson, and that is that there is a concept, La Halacha, it begins in the bottom of page 10, skipping over, turning over to page 11. This is the first daf in Maseches Bava Basra, the laws of neighbors, and that is that there is a principle called Hezek Riyah, sight damages, which the Gemara says the following. If we decide that we are going to split up our chatzer, Mr. Greenberg, you and I, can we share this chatzer?
Why not?
Well, now we're going to split it. We decided we're now going to split the chatzer. Okay?
Yeah.
You're going to take that half, I'm going to take this half. So the Gemara has two opinions. What does it mean that we decide we're going to split the chatzer and we're going to build a wall? Is it that the two of us decided, okay, we are now going to build a wall, and then the Mishnah says, oh, once we decided we're going to build a wall, let's give some parameters for this wall that we're going to build. So we got to pay for it jointly, it's got to be on our property jointly, fine. The other opinion in the Mishnah is, why do you have to build a wall? Not because we decided we're going to build a wall, but we decided we're going to split our property. Because the minute that you say, that's going to be yours, and I say, this is going to be mine, I need privacy. And you looking into my property is a violation of what's called Hezek Ria, damages of sight. That's the Isser, which causes us to be obligated, contractually obligated, to mutually construct a fence.
But wouldn't there be Hezek Ria even without the fence? I mean, Even if we have a joint chatzer.
Oh, so if we have a joint chatzer,
there's still hezekriya.
There's no hezekriya because we are together both doing these tashmishim, whatever we're doing. It's not my property or your property. We own the property together.
Joint property.
It's not private property anymore, by definition. It's a joint chatzer.
But the question is, what's hezekriya then?
What's that?
The question then is, what is
hezekriya means? Good. That's an excellent question. We'll get to that in a little bit. What exactly are the issues that surround hezekriya? Hezekriya means somebody is looking at, or potentially could be looking into, my private property. That's what hezekriya means. Because think about it, especially in those days, what did they have? They had one-room houses, and in the courtyard was where they were doing their laundry, their cooking, their playing, their hanging out, all the private activities that they would do in their home. So, is there any issue with looking into somebody else's property? So the Gemara says, yes, there is. And the Shai of the Gemara wants to know is this hezekriya shmei hezek? Is it considered conceptually actual damage? Is this notion of spying on somebody considered damages? The Rambam Paskins, page 12. If we decided, says the Rambam in Hilchos Shchenim, if we decided that we were going to split up our properties, and you're going to have one half, I'm going to have the other, look at the first wide line in Halacha Yudalid. Yesh l'chol echad me'en lochav eschaveru livnos hakosel behemtza. They can coerce each other to build a fence in the middle. Why? Kadei shelo yirah chaveru b'shashim b'shamet b'chelko. So that you can't see me while I am doing my activities in my property. Why? Shehezik ria hezekhu. Hezek ria, damages of the of vision, of the invasion of privacy, is considered damages la halacha. And page 13 says Rabbeinu Asher, just one second, says Rabbeinu Asher, not only that, when you talk about hezek ria, to articulate what we're saying, shiny hacha, where the arrow is one line up, detvias mamon yesh b'neim. This is a monetary obligation. It's a monetary obligation that we have to build the wall. Shinisayev kol echad lachavero l'sayo b'binyan hakosel. They are each obligated to build the part of the wall which is on their property. So hezekriya is not just a nice thing that we should respect your privacy rights. It's a halacha in dine mamonos. It's a monetary responsibility. Yes?
I don't understand how you expect, if everyone's working in the courtyard, or if you have a few lights on at night and the shades are open, that people should, you should expect people to look in the window.
Okay, so that's an excellent point. However, take a look, interesting. Some have suggested, and maybe the Ramban would agree to this, page 14, the Ramban says, and before we get to the Ramban, some Akronim answer to your question, we'll get to the contemporary application of this. Right now I want to talk theory, and page 14 of the Chidushu Ramban Nachmanides. So some have suggested that this is actually more severe than just regular, the notion of privacy. The Ramban points out here, according to Rashi, you see where I am? I'm in the Chidushi Ramban above Abbas Yudchesma Beis, page 14, the section which is marked off here. The Ramban categorizes the invasion of privacy in a very interesting way. Five lines down, says the Ramban, not only if I'm using the property now, but even if I have an empty lot and you want to open up a window in your wall overlooking my lot, I can enforce the rule of hezekriya, because I'm going to say, look, I'm not using it today, but I'm going to use it tomorrow. Says the Ramban, v'nimtzeis mazik osi, v'ayishaita havegirei didei v'yachol la'akev alav. The Ramban qualifies hezekriya not just as a monetary obligation, he actually calls it a mazik. If I'm looking into your property, I am actually damaging you.
That's like the evil eye.
Oh, very good. So take a look at the next page. Very good. Thank you, Doc. 15, the Ramban later on in the Masechta. Take a look at the top of the column, which starts with the word Behezek, the second full column that you have here that's not cut off. Says the Ramban, what is Hezekriya? It is nizke adam ba'adam. It's like a personal damage that I inflicted upon you. Imi shem ayin ra. Thank you. Exactly. Or because of the evil eye. Imi shem lishna bisha. Or it's because of lashon hara. Lashon hara meaning gossip. I'm always picking your windows. I'm knowing what's going on. I'm going to talk about it. And the third option, imi shem tzniusa. Maybe it's because of tzniyah. So says the Ramban, this is actual damage. This is considered mazik for these various reasons. And by the way, it's not just a monetary obligation, and it's not just a mazik. Says the Mishnah, there's another quality to it. Take a look on page 16. Mrs. Robinson, we're going to get back to the contemporary issue in a few moments. We're going to get to it, don't worry. Says the Mishnah, Lo yiftach adam l'chatz rashut fin Pesach keneged Pesach. You may not open, you have a door, you have a wall. You may not open a door in your wall, let's say right here, this is my door, I want to open up my door. If somebody has across the way a door that's right here, I'm not allowed to open a door right there. I cannot open a Pesach keneged Pesach, or a chalon keneged chalon, because when I open my door, I'm going to look right into his door. Ah, Doc, can you read the Gemara before we can read it, please?
I've noticed that the doors, any of these high rises, are made exactly like what you're saying.
Oh, yeah?
I was showing my grandkids perspective, whatever. And I noticed that not one door opened across the hall on the other.
They're standing.
See us there, right.
Oh, that's good.
It's very interesting.
That is good. So where does that come from? Exactly. So take a look in the Gemara. Menon Emili, how do you know this? Amar Yochanan, De Amar Kra, as the Pasuk says, Vayisa Bilam Esenav. Bilam lifted his eyes. What's that?
Where are we?
We're on page 16 in the bracketed section entitled Gemara.
Yeah.
Right, three lines down after I put the arrow.
I see, yeah.
So he says, it says, Vayisa Bilam Esenav. Bilam lifted his eyes, Vayaris Yisrael Shochen Lishvatav. And he saw the Jews resting to their tents, to their tribes. Mabra, what do you see? Ra'a she'ein pischei oholeim b'chuvanim ze lezeh. The windows and the doors aren't open facing each other. And therefore, Omar, he said, Ru'uyin halolu, these people are worthy, she'tishre aleihem shechina. The notion of personal privacy, according to the Gemara, is a source of divine presence. And that's what you were pointing out, Dr. Spindel. He doesn't mention it here, but Rashi on the next page, on page 17, Rashi on that pasuk of Matovo Alecha Yaakov, you know the Rashi. Rashi says, Al shera pischeim she'enim b'chuvanim zem u'zeh. What was so beautiful about the Jewish homes that the pesachim, that the openings were not to each other? So now we're actually shifting conceptually. Not just is this an obligation monetarily between neighbors. Not just is the invasion of privacy damage. It's a spiritual issue. It's an issue of Hashemah Hashchina. And that's what on the page 18, which I'm not going to read
all
inside.
All this becomes part of Hezekiah.
Yes. All of this is about Hezekiah.
So that whether there's a wall or no wall. All these Shilas.
So now, if you look in the Encyclopedia Talmudic, you will find that the concept, the halachic concept of Hezekiah is vast in rabbinic literature. Vast, because there's so many permutations. There are doors, there are windows, there are roofs, gagin, there are chatzeros, there are rishos rabbins, a million different permutations, far beyond my knowledge of expertise. I was just getting the basics down when I was reviewing, I was studying for this year. There's so much to talk about in terms of the actual nitty-gritty. We're just laying the conceptual framework for it. But in each case, you're going to have to plug in my deck and your swing set. You know, every case is going to be different. But the last point on this concept is that now, says the Ramir Abu Lafia, which is the Rama from Spain, in his commentary on Bava Basra, this is not just a matter of Dine Mamonos. This is not just a contract between us. It's an issue of an Isser. Of a mitzvah. The concept of Hezekiah is a spiritual concept, not just a monetary one. And the Gemara has a discussion about the parameters of Hezekiah. The Rishonim have a machlokas. Take a look at page 19. What about what What about if I have a courtyard and you, Doc, am I being the bad guy for the moment? Am I being the bad guy? Okay. You go and you open.
I've been worse.
You break down a wall right next, adjacent to my property, and you start building a nice little window overlooking my private property. And I'm a nice neighbor, you know, I don't say anything. And then, you know, a couple months later, it started making me uncomfortable. Can I come back to you and say, look, you know, I don't want this anymore? So it's actually 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, right here in front of you in Kuf Mem Beis Gimel. Im Ruven Pasach Halol L'Chatzah Shema Befonav. Yesh Omrim, Delo Havich Hazaka, Afilu Siyo B'Psichasa. Even if I helped you build a window, I can take that away. And that's the Ramban's opinion as well, I believe. Well, the Rambam disagrees. So there's even some discussion about the ability to be chozer.
Don't you have 3 years?
Oh, that's a question. How long it is? Is there chazaka? Is there not? That's the 2 days. So this notion of hezek ria is codified in Shulchan Aruch in several places, including page 20, which we won't see inside. But it's an interesting discussion. I did see in one of my travels through the Sfarim, I believe it was in the volume of Truman of the Journal of Israel of Halacha and Contemporary Issues, state, medicine, law, all different kinds of things, a Bezdin in Haifa that ruled regarding a case of Hezek Ria, that there was a guy who built a Mirpeset extension on his Dira, and now because of his Mirpeset, the people on the Mirpeset can look down and essentially spy on the people who are in the chatzer below, a private property. And they rule that they have to enclose the merpeset with walls now that they have encroached on their neighbor's privacy. However, if you take a look at this very interesting next page, which is the Mahari Tats, Rav Yotov Salon, living in Tzfat in the end of the 16th century, beginning of the 17th century, the Mahari Tats, he has a comment to the end of his tshuvas here in Reish Nun Gimel. It's not the easiest print to read because you should just feel so excited that you're looking at an actual copy of the Sefer Mahari Tats. This is not his handwriting from 500 years ago, but it's a nice old Sefer, so you get a feel of something exciting. He says, "Ubaartzein Tzfat," where I have the arrow. You see where I am? Emes, me'olam lo shamanu. In truth, we have never heard. V'lo bol yadenu, and it has never come to our hand. Kvias hezek ria berichuk makom harbe. We have never had in our Beis Din a case of hezek ria. Says the Maharit already 500 years ago, it seems that the laws have changed. Take a look at the next page. This is from the Encyclopedia Yehudit Dat. There's a great website called Dat, where they have all kinds of interesting sources and such. So I couldn't find this in the original, because it's a safer, very odd safer that you can't get a hold of in America for sure. The Piskei Din, take a look in the middle, where it says, Bayomim Ha'im Bazman Hazeh, just another Hanukkah reference for you there. In the encyclopedia, they quote a Shaila for the Piskei Din Ha'izuri of Dine Momenus in Kiryat Arba. According to Rav Ariel, the author of the Psak Din, who says the following, Biyameinu anu, in our days, ein makom latin hezek ria kebaavar. There's a difference. We do not have the same rules and regulations governing hezek ria as they did in the old days. Lishitaso, according to his opinion, mutar ayom leftoach pesach keneged pesach mikevam why shepischei habatim mustarim bederach klal al yedei dalsos ovilonos. Because we have what are called window treatments, shades. So because we have shades, when you open the door of your house, you don't look into somebody else's house because they have window shades. Further, Yesser al came. Mekevon she'emtza'e ha'teura ha'modernim ma'afshirim kayom l'ha'ir et ha'bayit be'emtza'ut chashmal ein od chashivut ko gdola l'chalon ha'pasuach. In today's day and age, we have electricity, so we don't need open windows. Could you imagine living in the times of the Gemara, where they had buildings, huts, stone huts, that had no way of getting light in them aside from candlelight. So during the day, you weren't going to burn candles all day. You punch holes in the wall, and that's your window. That's what you use for light. But there were no screens. There were no shades. So if someone was standing in your chatzar and they opened the window opposite your house, they saw right into your house. And furthermore, other achronim make the point that, think about it, in those days, they didn't have hallways, and they didn't have bedrooms, and they didn't have elaborate homes. They had one-room houses, sometimes with an aliyah, with like an upstairs loft. So in those days, if you looked into somebody's house, it was a complete and total gross violation of their basic privacy. But today, these don't apply. This is not the case. Even if someone were to look into my front door, they would see my hallway, and they might see my dining room, my living room. They wouldn't see much past that. They wouldn't see what's going on in my basement, in the bedrooms in the back of the house. They certainly wouldn't see into the bathroom. So, and this, the rest of the sesh, you can take a look, and others have made the same point. So it would seem that according to many poskim, in the era of window watchers, the laws of Hezekiah do not apply. However, what I would offer to you is, and that's the conclusion of this article as well, is that you're right. It's correct that halachically, many poskim will say there is no violation of Hezekiah building apartment buildings in such structures, in such ways that you can see into somebody else's terrace or even into their dining room window. But the Ikaron of Matovo Alecha Yaakov should not be lost on us. The notion of the importance of personal privacy and Snias and Ayin Hara and all of those related issues, that shouldn't be lost on us. Even if the letter of the law may not be applied today, the spirit of the law still needs to be there. And therefore the notion of respecting people's privacy, of keeping up blinds, of not spying on other people, all that kind of thing, that's all still applicable just as it was then. And I think that's the important thing to take away from, that the principle of Hezekiah teaches us about the importance of respecting people's property. The coda to this, yeah, Doc?
No, I would think that because people live in high rises, they may do things in their apartments with the windows open that people who lived in one-story buildings wouldn't, because they have a presumption that who's out there? I'm on the 35th floor.
So that's what it's interesting. If you notice, that's when you read the article carefully in depth, which you don't necessarily have to do, but you'll see what the article speaks to is it's a culture of window watchers. That people know that everybody else is watching everybody else. And therefore, or at least in certain areas, there isn't a presumption of privacy. Maybe they think there is, for some, but certainly for others there isn't. And I think if you take Dr. Geller's point, maybe this would go back to the old ways of Hezekiah, which is, maybe your point is to say, in a situation where people are assuming that there is privacy, and then in fact there isn't privacy, then you would be back in the old ways of Hezekiah Mamish, because you're not enabling them to do what they would be able to do. So I think that's definitely an important point. The last point that I want to make, which is just something to think about when you read the article, is the notion of friends. Now, Chazal tell us in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Kenei Lecha Chaver. And what exactly does it mean to have a friend, to have a relationship with someone? So there are interesting observations here, anecdotes, snippets of people who have, quote unquote, relationships with people in other buildings because they see them, because one person sees the other person. And I wonder from a psychological perspective, but from a Jewish perspective, of what it means, what are normal and healthy chaverim, what are normal and healthy relationships that we're trying to develop that are kind of warped, in my mind, in this notion of, you know, seeing somebody else turning on a light and then you're turning on the light at the same time. Exactly how does that play out in terms of normal, healthy social development? I'm not sure. I leave that as a coda to the shir for something to consider. What exactly does it mean to have a chaver? What are the values of chaverim and what that contributes in this context? So I wish everybody a freilich and lichtige Chanukah. Thank you so much.
As last. Oh, yeah. Yeah.